dance on the air. We're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues, and more. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Simon Jarvis. In November 2019, we had Ian Westmoreland, the founder of Mentoring Men, on the program. Today, we welcome the Chief Executive Officer, Simon Jarvis. Simon, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Simon brings a broad range of management experience of over 20 years in the not-for-profit sector in the UK and Australia. He has a bachelor's degree in behavioural psychology, and Simon's plan is to expand the organisation Mentoring Men through professional operational principles with the best mentor and mentee experience at the core. For Simon, having a mentor is an essential for anyone, not just people doing it tough, as being able to share thoughts, ideas and concerns can relieve the pressures of life before they become unmanageable. This is the reason why Mentoring Men resonates greatly and why he is so passionate in the success of the organisation, which has already mentored over 1,000 men. Simon, welcome to Dads on the Air.
Thank you.
Simon, do you see there are particular problems for men in our society?
I don't think there's any particular problem that I want to highlight more than any other. What I find a lot with males, especially in Australia, is the difficulty sometimes to reach out when they need help and when they need support. And or it's not always the big things in life that create the biggest stresses. It's sometimes the small things that just kind of build up and go from there. So I wouldn't want to highlight anything greater than anything else. But what I do find is it's the ability to be able to talk and the ability to be able to feel vulnerable in their life. And I think that that's something that Mentoring Men is really here to try and support.
Would you describe it as a crisis at the moment in men's health, or is it just sort of bubbling along with these ongoing problems?
When you look at the suicide rates, and I want to say, although we do focus on supporting all men, we are not a crisis support service. But when you look at suicide rates, we know that 7 out of 9 suicides in this country are male. And we know that men basically don't find the support they need in time until it's too late. And that's really where I see the issues with mental health concerns in Australia with men at this point in time. What we do know is that someone who has a close community and a close-knit support network is less likely to suffer from mental health issues. So that's what we're really here to do. We're a community-led organisation, which means that all our volunteer mentors work in a way that really promotes the ability to be able to talk and to promote the opportunity to give people the chance to talk and to the chance to share their thoughts, feelings, emotions. And so for me, it's really important that we are able to spread that across the country and try and reduce some of that mental health stress that comes with just being an everyday man. We know at this point in time where, you know, we're just coming out of lockdown, there are issues with recruitment of staff. We know that there's pressures at work. Home pressures with isolation have become increasingly intensified. So we know that all those things really don't help, you know, someone's mental health, and especially men at this point in time. I think that women in particular are much better at being able to talk and being able to open up with their close-knit friends, whereas I think with men that doesn't happen as much. And I think some of that is the lack of ability to be able to feel vulnerable in front of their friends and have a bravado that everything is absolutely fine. I know that for me, and this is just something that I can share, I have 2 young children, 4 and 2. And I remember when my first was born, and there was all this support for my partner around, you know, supporting what that means to be a new mum, and all this, you know, support around what to expect, what to look out for. But there was nothing for me. And I remember being sat in the obstetrician's clinic and just kind of panicking a little bit under the surface and not knowing where to go. And this is before I had known about Mentoring Men. And I really do wish that there was someone that I could have spoken to about that. So that's something that I really want to highlight, is that it's not, like I said, just the crisis stuff. It's actually the day-to-day living that really comes into play.
Well, you mentioned then volunteers. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about mentoring men, how it started and where you're at now.
Yeah, of course. So what Mentoring Men actually is, it's a free life mentoring service for any male in Australia who actually needs that support. Our volunteer mentors are men in the community that are able to support anybody in Australia that needs that help. We provide one-on-one life mentoring. And what that means is we either talk to someone either over the phone, through Skype, or through any video conferencing service, or ideally face-to-face, that is able to lend a listening ear to a male who is struggling with life in any form. Our volunteer mentors, that it's all community-led, which means that basically it's our men who are both promoting mentoring men, but also facilitating those conversations. We put them through around about a day and a half of training around what we call active listening and developing skills to support a mentor. And really, the only skill that you need to be one of our mentors is to be a good listener. We don't need good talkers. We need good listeners, because we find that that's the best way to help someone come to their own decisions. The way that we facilitate conversations is by asking open-ended questions, by facilitating someone to open up through talking about some of the issues that they've possibly got. And it doesn't always have to be directly through just a face-to-face conversation. Again, we know that can be quite difficult. So we do promote or ask or look at different ways that we can provide that through what we call walk and talks, through maybe finding someone who can, you know, play a round of golf with you or play a game of tennis or just going for a coffee. What we know is that indirect conversation is much easier than it is talking to someone just face to face and opening up like that. It takes a while to trust someone as well. So we do ask that our mentoring relationships go for around about 6 to 12 months to really find that the best outcomes for both you and your mentee. So I'm incredibly proud and humbled by the men that we have as our mentors. They are such great characters for our community, and I feel that if there were more people out there that were able to just listen like our mentors do, our world would be in a much better place.
We've talked about mentoring quite a bit. What does mentoring actually mean to you?
Mentoring to me means just having the ability to have someone that's either gone through something that you are struggling with or is able to provide you with someone to be able to listen to hear your struggles, and to maybe provide an outside voice that when you're in a situation, it's very hard to look outside of that situation. It can become very isolating. So what I find, or what I think our mentors do, is provide you with an opportunity to hear another perspective on what's going on in your life, and maybe hear something that you haven't heard before, or an idea that around how you can be supported. What we want to do is really not make the decisions for our mentees themselves. What we actually want is a mentor that's able to facilitate that conversation, to facilitate that decision-making process, that gives you the opportunity and the ability to become more resilient in the changes that go on in your life. So for me, a mentor is all of those things, but essentially it's just a good ear. It's someone who is you can trust, someone that's reliable and stable in your life, that you, when everything else is chaotic around you, you've got that one solid person that you can talk to.
It sounds like something you said before too, that that women seem to be better at this. That perhaps there's a lot we can learn from, I don't know, women's always seem to have women's groups of one sort or another. I mean, I know my sister has her prenatal group, you know, 30 or 40 years after she went through birth, which I just can't imagine. And so anyway, you're providing that service now. Men are starting behind the eight ball, but they're getting there with what you're doing.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see or would like to think that we are providing that support and that assistance. Again, what is different for us to other groups maybe is that we are one-on-one. We're not a group service. So we don't provide group mentoring, because I think that the ability to just talk personally with someone provides a different level of support and maybe a different opportunity to kind of share what's going on in your life. Because again, we know that men aren't particularly great at talking in groups, you know, around their feelings and around their emotions and what's going on. I definitely think we can learn more from women around this stuff and being able to share those issues. What we actually find is that a lot of referrals that we get from, you know, guys who need a mentor, it comes from their wife, or it comes from their mother, or it comes from their sister. First, they're quite reluctant to talk to us, but then when we actually share what we do and how it works, we find that it's much easier.
Yeah, and I was interested too when you talked about the walk and talk, because I know men's sheds, for example, they talk about shoulder to shoulder rather than face to face, because some men do really find it difficult to express their feelings, don't they?
They do. And I like to call it accidental talking, right? So it's talking through with doing another activity. And you're right, the men's shed, when they do their shoulder to shoulder discussions, it makes it easier for men to be able to talk about things if they have something else to focus on apart from that. It's very hard to look someone in the eyes and talk about how difficult they're finding life at this point in time, especially when other people might find that their issues are trivial, but they're not trivial to that person. And I think that's what we have to focus on, is what is important to someone might not be important to others, but it's obviously causing an issue for them.
And we're speaking today with Simon Jarvis, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Mentoring Men. Simon, we've come to the stage of the program where we ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. So I think you've got one for us.
I do. I've chosen Paul Simon's You Can Call Me Al. This song for me is a song that's all about finding a friend when you're on your travels through life or through a different country. It's also about being able to share the burdens of life with someone. And again, for me, this song resonates because it's a song from my childhood that I remember my parents playing. And
it makes me feel old.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not that old, but I do remember it as a child growing up. And for me, I just think it's a song that really resonates with how mentoring men should be about opening up and, you know, sharing those issues.
I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Just a beer belly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, incidents and accidents, there were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. Call me out. Spinning in and
And that was You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon, which was specially chosen for us today by our guest, Simon Jarvis. Simon is the Chief Executive Officer of a charity group for men in particular called Mentoring Men. Simon, we've been talking about getting men to join your group and get take some advantage from these mentors that you speak so highly of. I guess you mentioned there's a day and a half of training before a mentor takes to the street.
Yeah.
You mentioned they're good listeners. I'm wondering what else you look for in these mentors.
We look for all sorts of different kinds of men. So we are working across Australia and Sydney. And you know, as you know, Sydney is a melting pot of communities and cultures. And so we're looking for lots of different kinds of men and learning from different cultures and different societies around how they, you know, mentor and how they provide that assistance to other men. So we're constantly learning. What we're looking for with a mentor is someone who has either gone through an issue or gone through something in their life that has affected them in a way that either they have found support from another mentor or someone who wished that they had had a mentor in the past and they want to share on their knowledge and their concerns. In terms of our mentors and the age groups, our youngest mentor is 21 and our oldest mentee is someone who has a mentor is in their 80s. Mm. So it really is a varied age group and life experience can mean so many different things. It can be from a young guy moving from the country to the city and going through university and then maybe wants to support someone in their first year of university, or it could be a man who has gone through fatherhood and wants to talk to someone who or support someone who's just starting off in their life. We also support men around looking for a different career opportunity or not sure where to go with their life at this point in time, buying a new house and what that looks like. Our mentors are really varied, but the ultimate skill is, like I said before, is listening, being able to maybe pull out some of that conversation from someone in a way that allows them to feel comfortable in doing that. And I also think that it's not solving someone's problems. Again, I think one of the problems that we have as men is that we always want to be the problem solver of something. And really, that's not what a mentor does. What a mentor does is help someone come to their own decision.
So is there sometimes a thin line between being a mentee and a mentor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know men who have gone through being a mentee, going to a mentor, and then in another stage of life, going to see another mentor after being a mentor. Our founder, Ian, for instance, started the organization because he needed a mentor and because he wasn't sure what to do with his life next. I think he was going through some life changes himself and wasn't sure where to go, realized very quickly that he needed someone to talk to, found that there wasn't anyone to talk to and there wasn't anyone like us in Australia that did that, and so thought I'm going to start my own program. And we started with $50 in the bank and a barbecue at his house. And we've now gone to becoming the organization that we are now, where we have over 1,000 mentors and mentees. We now have paid staff, which is something that's come on in the last year. I've come on board to try and support the organization. So it really is growing. And I think that shows the need of what we're doing.
You don't provide psychological services at all. So if one of your mentors sees something, you know, serious or dangerous or whatever, I guess they refer it on to somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. We are very, very careful with who we take on, both as a mentor and as a mentee, because we know that the health and safety of both is paramount to what we do. So we have to make sure that whoever we are providing support to in terms of our mentees and who's looking for a mentor, we go through an interview process with them and we talk to them about what's going on in their life at this point in time. We talk to them about what they want out of the mentoring program. And if we find that we aren't able to provide the right support for them, such as clinical support, or if they're going through alcohol or drug dependencies, or they need clinical mental health support, we would refer them on to services. So we know that we can't provide the clinical support for those people. But what we don't do then is leave them in the lurch either. We will contact them them in 6 months, 12 months time, just to find out how everything's going, to see where they are in that stage of their recovery or support, and seeing whether we can help them out there. We do sometimes do joint support as well, so they might be having clinical support while also having a mentor, but again, that's on a case-by-case basis. So we are very careful with who we are providing support to, because we know that we can't provide that clinical support.
If somebody out there thinks that they could benefit from mentoring and they ring up your organisation,
yep,
what can they expect will happen then?
Any man in Australia can call us, and basically what we can do is talk you through what Mentoring Men is there. We have a mentor and a mentee intake manager that supports the people coming in, and we will talk through what it's like to be a mentor or to be a mentee. We then ask them to fill in a short form to let them know what their interests are. We then go through I would call it an interview, but it's more a chat, a discussion around either why they want to be a mentor or why they think they need a mentor. And then we would either decide that we can support them and we can help them, and we put them through some training to support them to be a mentor. Or again, if it's to find a mentor, then we will put them on a wait list to find a specific mentor for them. We do that through a matching process where we have a look at kind of what the interests are of that person, where they live, their location, how they want to be mentored, and then we find someone who might be suitable for them.
And you also mentioned these other activities. You've got the walk and talk and, I guess, barbecues and that sort of activity.
Yeah, we do community events as well. Mm. So we don't try to provide mentoring in those community events. They're more for us to share what Mentoring Men is, to open up and talk about what it's like to have a mentor, talk about positive mental health support, talk about things that you can do to support each other in the community. For me, that's really what Mentoring Men is that it's that community education, it's that support around it's okay to talk, it's okay to open up. And then really what comes from that is the mentoring afterwards, because if you don't buy into what mentoring is and what Mentoring Men can do for you, we really can't help you. And so what we really want to do is talk about what it means to have a mentor and the support that we can provide you, and then you become either a mentor or a mentee from there. So really those community events, and we do lots of different stalls. So we have a regular stall that we do up at Linfield that we provide information there. We also go to different community services and different community events and have stalls that we, you know, can talk to the public about what we do and open up and share our activities and share our values, because I think that something that Mentoring Men holds very high is the values of honesty and non-judgmental support, and so that's something that we really try and talk to the community about.
So what would be the best way to contact Mentoring Men?
Yep. So you can find us on our website, Mentoring Men, www.mentoringmen.org.au, or you can give us a call on 1300 583 925.
Can you say that number again for us?
Sure, it's 1300 583 925.
Great. Now, are there any organisations like this overseas that you're aware of, or is this an Australian unique opportunity?
We have done quite a bit of extensive research around what is out there, and surprisingly there isn't much at all around what we do, even overseas. So we have people from the US sometimes calling us asking if we can provide support to them. Unfortunately we can't at this point in time, but there's definitely opportunities out there to provide this service in other countries. In the UK there's nothing like this. There are a lot of group services, but not one-to-one life mentoring like we provide.
Look, it's a wonderful venture, and I think Ian Westmoreland must be praised for getting this started. And Simon, you've taken it on, which is fantastic, and I think you're going to take it in a whole lot of new areas, which I'm really excited to follow. I hope we can have you back in the future to hear how it's all progressing.
Oh, great. It would be great to come back. Thanks, Bill.
I'd just like to say that if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, you can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email. We'll be in touch. Or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. It just remains for me now to give a special thank you to our guest, Simon Jarvis. Simon, thank you very much for being a guest on Dad's on the Air.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we'll be back next week with another show on Dad's on the Air.